Saturday live on Dublin's Easy Place to Relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Delighted to be joined once again by international best-selling writer and inspirational, motivational speaker. She's a renowned psychologist and mentor, businesswoman and entrepreneur, and now you're just about to launch a new clothing line. I don't know if there's
totally
much...
confused, Peter.
I don't know if there's much you haven't done, Donna, but I am delighted to have you back with us again, Donna Kennedy. And Donna, you're here to talk about the next Women's Empowerment Summit, which is taking place in November on the 19th in Dublin. But before we do that, I think it would be good to kind of remind people or give people an insight into you and your journey and how you came to be where you actually are today, because you've had quite the journey, let's face it.
Well, I have. And I suppose where I am today is completely different to where I was. In actual fact, if you told me where I am today, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have thought you were joking, even to do one of the things that I do. And that's not said in an egotistical way. It's more, I know what it is to be shy. I know what it is to have no confidence and to be totally lost, have no direction. When I was 7, as you know, I was raped. And my way of coping with that was anorexia behaviour. So I did engage in that behaviour, and I did it so bad that I actually had a week to live. My organs were shutting down. It was a disaster. I'm 5'10", I was 5 stone weight at the time. So that gives you kind of an idea as to, you know, the level of discomfort, the level of, I suppose, it was almost like living in a bubble and everyone else was living life and I was inside it, and no matter how loud I screamed, I couldn't figure things out. So I tried to figure it out in my own bubble and didn't make a very good job of it. And later then in life, I had a car accident and I hit my head and developed epilepsy from that. So I suppose I know what it is to be stuck. I know what it is to see everyone else live their life and you hoping and dreaming that you could do that too. And I just couldn't see a way that I could do that. I could see what other people could do it, but I didn't see that I had the skills or the tools or the knowledge or the confidence or the ability to do it. So I really started with small steps. I'm talking about like tiny steps.
And what was the when you say that you were in this place, and I can only imagine where you felt, or you're looking on at everybody else living their lives thinking, I would love to do that, but I'm just stuck. I'm stuck in this hole, I guess, a hole of despair. So when you say that you took small steps, I mean, was there a pivotal moment where you said to yourself, I have to get out of this. I have to try and move beyond this. And this is how I'm going to start doing it.
Honestly, there were many pivotal moments, you know, along the way, and it was very much a two-step forward, kind of one-step back kind of thing. But I suppose there was two stages to that. One was when I was in the midst of anorexia and coming out of that, thankfully, which I did. But I think the moment for me there would have been where I was sitting. I actually fell into a small coma. And when I came out of it, my mom said to me that, you know, she didn't know how to help me. And I said, well, I don't know how to help me either. So we're really in a catch-22. And she actually asked me, could I look at things that I could be grateful for? In other words, could I look at what I do have in life rather than what I didn't have? And I kind of felt a little bit patronised, I suppose, probably a little bit angry as well. Kind of, what do you know about my life? But I went with it because I had no other avenue, I suppose. So I started to build on things, looking at life a little bit differently. And long story short, because there were many steps to it, I did overcome that. And then the second part was, obviously, you know, I went into college. I was doing really well at college. I got myself a job. So I really got back into life. And then sometimes, as life does, you got knocked down a second time. And no pun intended, but I did, you know, kind of in a way get knocked down. But when I had the car accident, it kind of threw me back. Because I was almost felt, although it was a different experience, I felt like I was kind of back to square one, because obviously I had to come out of college and I had to, obviously I didn't have a job at that point because I couldn't physically do it. So there was lots of different things. So I thought, okay, well, how will I start again? And I went back to, you know, what was it that my mom first said? It was, look at what I do have, which I didn't feel I had very much, but at least it was something to build on.
That was very enlightened of your mom when you think about it, because now gratitude is a real buzzword, isn't it? You know, we're all being advised to be grateful for what we have, and so we should. But for your mom to say that, you know, back...
Well, she actually had a very tough upbringing. So I suppose she really gained strength through that. But it's kind of, I know when I was first told that, it was like, be grateful, it's almost patronising.
Yeah, I get it.
And even now, as it is a buzzword and all that, but like, it's when you take it away from the fluffy part and you actually look, you know, build on, rather than even gratitude, just build on what you do have, whether that be, you know, would you trade your eyes with me for €1 billion? Probably not. So, you know, be grateful for those. Or, you know, would you swap your hands for, you know, other money or a certain job or a certain different way you look or whatever. So when you start to genuinely look and take time, and writing it out is really useful, I found, because it's there in black and white. Mm. So that was only, I mean, that was a tiny part, but at least it was a start. And I think that when you have a start, it kind of gives you something to build on, even though it might not be massive, at least it's something. So then you have a way forward. And then obviously you do things kind of along the way as you move forward.
And every little victory, however you define victory, along the way makes you stronger and gives you the impetus to keep going and to,
absolutely,
you know, go to the next step.
And you see, I suppose now where I am, a lot of people, one question a lot of people ask me is, you know, how do you get so confident, or how can I get confidence, or how can I be happy, or success and all that kind of stuff. But what people don't realise is, like, everyone's born confident. It's just knocked out of you. And, you know, you're not, confidence isn't a thing. It's not something you can get in a bottle. It's not something you can chase, or somehow you'll, you know, eventually get there. Confidence is a set of the decisions, and it's moment to moment. It's layering decisions one upon the other. And I had to make a decision, you know, okay, I'm going to look forward, and then I had to make another one. And each decision and it working out is what gives you confidence. Like when you're riding a bike, you fall off a few times, you keep going, keep going. And then it gets to a self-belief, because obviously you believe you can do it. And then that turns into a conviction that, yes, I am doing it and I must do it. And that is a journey that you go on. But if you just, rather than seeing it as like big, one big jump, like, I could not have seen myself on stage. I could not have seen myself doing any. I mean, it wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know the job existed. You know, it just wasn't there. So for me, getting better was the thing. And that meant doing the small things, like getting up out of bed, believe it or not, was a big decision. Having a conversation was a big decision. And once I had it, and once I realised, you know, yeah, actually, I didn't die after that conversation, or, you know, I didn't die after I went to the shop and, you know, nobody judged me. Then that kind of gave me a little bit more self-belief. And I know that might be hard for some people to believe, because, you know, everyone seems to have their life together, but many people don't. Many people do this in silently, because again, it is like living in a bubble. So you see everyone in many ways, especially over the last couple of years, people see people on social media and they're getting on with their lives and they're doing this, that and the other. But for many people, they're still struggling. You know, they are finding their confidence, they've been shattered. One thing I keep hearing is, you know, I've lost my mojo, or I've lost direction, purpose and meaning. And these aren't things, you know, these are words, they're not necessarily buzzwords, but they're words that people are saying to me. And many people are saying them, which means that it's actually quite common right now.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, just to go back to what you were saying about people on social media who seem to have their lives together. I mean, often as not, they actually don't. It's a front, isn't
it?
There's
two types of people on social media, in my opinion. You have the types that post everything positive. Then you have you've got an occasional person who just likes to moan. And then you have people who are real. But still keep it positive. So I would be kind of, I suppose, the person who I put up positive things, but also keep it real. But I don't need to moan about things. That said, many people put up their filtered pictures, only their good parts, and that's the majority. So I have no problem saying, you know, yeah, at one point in time, I was a disaster, because that's just owning it. It's not, I often liken life to a movie, you know, a movie has many different scenes. And if you stopped, if you say a movie is an hour and a half, if you zone in and pause it at 10 minutes, or you pause it at maybe 50 minutes, you're going to see something different. Well, the way I look at it is, well, I've already lived a part of my movie, and some of it might have been horrific or disastrous, but that's what it was. Now I'm a director of my movie, so I can, you know, decide what the next bit is going to be. Whereas I think there's this notion that, you know, you're a failure, or you'll be judged if you're somehow imperfect, or you don't, you know, you're not confident, or you haven't got the best body, or you haven't got the job, or, you know, you're not doing so well financially in, say, times over the last 2 years. Lots of people lost their job, or they weren't able to embrace Zoom, or they weren't able to, you know, they weren't kind of techie or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just seems for many that we're getting on with it. But behind closed doors is a lot of people. And this is based on, I mean, I'm talking about thousands of people who have contacted me based on what's actually happening. And I'm not talking about, you know, years ago it was your maybe a shy stereotype like I would have been, or somebody who was depressed. But now it's, you know, you've got celebrities, CEOs, you've got, you know, they're just the person you see in the store. So it's affecting everybody. And I think it's because over the last couple of years, it's not necessarily COVID actually was the problem. It's that people compromised on their basic human needs, which were things like connection to people, a sense of belonging, sense of purpose and meaning, something to get up for, sense of achievement and status. These are all basic needs. And if you don't have your needs met, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And people still haven't got their full needs met because they don't even know what they are. For many, they don't know what they are. I know what they are because I've been through the whole stuff.
But there's Laszlo's hierarchy of needs, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
I'll drop my pen there. You know, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of wisdom actually. And I mean, there's a lot of science in it, but actually there's a lot of wisdom in that as well. You know, what we actually really need to keep ourselves nurtured.
There is. What I liken it to being like, if you imagine two things. So first you imagine a wheel. A wheel has many spokes on it and each spoke is valid and it's valuable. And without it, the rest are going to crumble or buckle. Yeah. So if I, for example, if I put all my focus in on finance, for example, that might maybe take away from my relationships or from whatever. If I put in, maybe I'm just looking for, you know, my free time, which is great. But if I put free time and don't do anything productive, then, you know, you've got that too. So you have to kind of get everything in balance. You could also look at what I use an example of a plant. Like a plant needs certain things in balance to bloom. So water, air, sunlight and soil. If you take away one, if you take away sunlight, for example, most people will say, well, it would die. Well, not first. It would twist itself, make itself look totally miserable in the process, but do everything it can to get its needs met, even if it's not useful. If it doesn't get water, it'll suck the water from everywhere around it it can, even though it'll look miserable doing it. And humans are no different. We do everything that we can to get our needs met and have to have them met in balance to bloom. Mm. And most people don't know what their needs are because they've got so wrapped up in, I suppose, a Western version of what success and happiness and all that kind of stuff is. Like, don't get me wrong, I believe that everybody can be successful. And by successful, I mean being the best that you can be. I mean, that to me is success. And it's not me, it's up to me or society to decide what that is. For some, it's been, you know, been a mom and that's fantastic. For some, it has been a father. For some, it's been an athlete. For some, it's climbing Kilimanjaro. They're all equally valid. But the key is that somebody has their needs in balance. Yeah.
But often, do you think too, and maybe this is more particular to women than to men, and I'm not being in any way sexist about this, but that women, I think, in my experience anyway, have a tendency to ignore their needs. They might know what their needs are, but they actually tell themselves they're not that important. So they put other people first. And I think particularly maybe for women of a certain age, as we get older, you put your needs second because you've got kids to look after, or then maybe elderly parents to look after, or husband or whatever. So you stop listening to yourself because you're too busy taking care of everything else.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back throughout our history for social survival, you know, building relationships was primarily, and this is a very generalised thing, but primarily female thing, whereas male was more the provider. I believe men and women are equal. We're just different. And for women, relationships are still, relationships obviously are important to men too. But we are relationship builders. That's why we multitask so well. Whereas men still, and I'm not being sexist either, but men still, and if you ask any men, they do still like to be the provider. Mm. I think we need to relax on both sides and allow each other to kind of help out on both sides. So, you know, men maybe need to understand that women do need those relationships and do need the me time and, you know, the connection with the coffee with friends. Or, you know, just time away if they're lucky enough to have kids, time away from the kids or stuff, you know. And also maybe women might need to realise that if a guy is going out to work and he's doing a really hard job, just to say, you know, you're doing great.
Yeah.
And I think just to kind of maybe be more flexible on both sides. And then if we do that, I think the relationships are a lot more harmonious and there wouldn't be as much pressure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about the summit then. I mean, this isn't your first one.
No. I can't remember how much it is.
You've done a few. All very successful. And it's the Empowerment Summit.
Well, the whole event started, as I said, I don't see men and women as, I'm not one of these people who believe, you know, women are all important and men aren't. But in any seminar, any event that you do, there's going to be a different dynamic. So if you have all men, it's going to be different to all women. And if you have mixture, it's going to be different. None better. It's just all, you know, different.
Yeah.
So somebody had suggested that I do a women's seminar and I was kind of, I don't know about that. But I did one and it went way better than I expected. And I realised actually there is a very different dynamic because it's you can feel it, it's nearly tangible. So I did a second one and that went really well. And the whole point of them really is, again, looking at what it is that people need right now. And because I'm very involved with people, I can see what it is that they're missing. So the speakers I get would very much be in line with that, to help people kind of, you know, bridge those gaps maybe that they need bridged at the moment to be able to step up to the next level, whether that be, you know, getting out of bed or whether it be creating a massive company, whatever it is. So I look at what it is that people need. So the summit on November 19th is all about people going forward. It's about getting a feeling of confidence, getting your sparkle back, feeling like you've got your mojo back, having a sense of getting momentum is very important. You know, like when you're on a spinning bike and the beginning is the big push and so, oh God, you know, how do I do this? But once you got the big push, then it's a matter of doing certain things to keep it going. And so you can get faster and faster into as your pace that you want. So at the event, there's going to be speakers there that are covering different topics. But importantly, they've all achieved something in that area that's beyond average. And I think it's very important, because many events and many anything, to be honest with you, you know, there's lots of people giving great advice but haven't really lived it. Mm. And it's important for me, because I know where I was at and I feel like I have a moral obligation to give people information that works in real life. So the speakers that I have are people who actually have learned on a, you know, on multi-levels of what it is to go from being in maybe a stuck place, as you said, to being where you want to be. So it's very much about, you know, being confident, finding your sparkle, finding your mojo, getting purpose and meaning back in your life, learning how to step back into life, because many people were out of it for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Also, it's a great atmosphere. I even have a singer in the morning just to kind of loosen everybody up. I mean, you know, sometimes you need to take the seriousness out of life. You know, I often say to people, you know, people say, oh, don't take yourself seriously. Well, I would say take yourself seriously, because you're important enough too, but have a lot of fun too. And that's why it's a great atmosphere. It's a non-judgmental atmosphere. It's not all business women. I know many women, they think, oh God, if I go to a women's event, it's going to be all people in suits. It's not. I don't care if people wear their slippers. It's literally a matter of people coming in, empowering each other, supporting each other. And everyone's there for the same reason.
And women,
better.
You know, women are actually, and I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for this, because I think often women, what we are very good at too, is actually putting ourselves down and maybe putting other people down because of where we're at. Whereas in actual fact, there is a huge solidarity there. And women can support, we can support each other in just incredible ways. And I think maybe for anybody listening thinking, well, you know, it's great to hear about, you know, getting your confidence back and listening to other women talk about that. But, oh, well, they're better than I could ever be, and they can do all this, but I could never do that. That's not the case.
It's not. It could be the case with some events. And the reason I say that is because I choose people on purpose, because I have been in those dark places.
Right.
So I'm not in those dark places now, but I really have a true real life understanding of what it is. I mean, I have studied psychology, but there's nothing any book could have ever taught me than where I've been, my life experience. Mm. I say I have a QBE, qualified by experience.
<It's great laughs> I love that. Yes.
But all the speakers do. And they're speakers who have information that many people don't. But most speakers have been through something. The ones I've asked to speak, always, right the way back, have been through something that, or have been in a situation where, for example, I've asked a comedian to speak. Now you might think, what on earth would a comedian been up there when no one wants to be, you know, half the room may not want to be a comedian. But comedians are very good at having dealt with judgment. And who doesn't deal with that every day? Mm. So, you know, how do you deal with potential rejection? That's a very real life thing. Or leadership. Okay, that's fine to say leadership and you lead a company. What about leadership in life, where you need to, you know, get somebody motivated, even if that's motivating your child to get out of bed, or if it's you want to build a company, or you want to, you know, get healthier, or you want to get wealthier. Like, you have to have a way to focus, a way to get momentum, a way to lead yourself. And, you know, people who are Olympians do that. They have the, you know, the mindset to do that. They know exactly what it takes. Somebody who's an international rugby player, they know what it is to get down and make the tough times. But not only that, the speakers I get have also been through life difficulties, you know, or they've heard people who've been through life difficulties. And there's a genuine and a unique learning within that you can't get anywhere, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I choose the speakers I do. So it's not just randomly chosen. There's chosen particularly for a reason.
Okay. And on this day on the 19th then, how many speakers do you have and how long does the day, how does it all pan out?
Well, it's from 9 until 6, so it's a full day, and obviously there's lunch in between, which is provided in the ticket. Then we have a couple of speakers on, then a break, a couple of speakers again and a break. We also have a presentation, because one of the great things that came out of this summit was many people had a story but not everyone could go on stage, so we created a book. And that went bestseller. So I'm going to do a little presentation there too for those authors and recognise them. But the event itself, we have 5 speakers. One of them is male, and which may surprise
good.
People.
Yeah.
But it's actually Pat Slattery.
Oh, right.
And he's a fantastic speaker. It's really, again, to show that men and women are equal, but we're different. So yes, there is. It's a unique slant on what we're doing. And all the speakers are talking about different topics, which I think is useful as well. So it's not going to be one long, boring topic.
Right. You know, so what kinds of topics then?
First of all, we're going to have on confidence. That's a big one for many people. Getting in touch with who you are, connecting with your identity. Identity is a massive thing for people at the moment. You know, knowing who you are and getting back to kind of what you're all about. So it's really important for that. Then we're going to get being on track and creating a plan. Getting on track, getting back on track if you've gone off track, getting focus and clarity, solutions as well. As you know, sometimes it's very easy to see obstacles all the time, but you also have to see there are solutions if you look at things in different ways. So
yes,
we're going to look at perspective. I'm personally going to be talking about moving out of your comfort zone and moving into something better, but the process between that, because there is a gap there that you know, the people need to do. Even things like we're talking even about conformity. So I'll be talking a little bit about that, where we do tend to conform to societal views or to judgments of us, and we fit in and mould ourselves to our environment, whatever that might be for somebody. But that's not always what we are or what we're about or what we're capable of. So for every person there, whatever walk of life that they're in, they deserve to step up. Like, you're here to be happy. You know, you're not here to be miserable or to just exist. And to be happy means that you have to connect to life. And that does mean stepping outside your comfort zone sometimes. I did it. But there are ways to do it safely that don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show people how to do that as well. So it's a practical event. It's not just talking.
It could be a life-changing event,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
For
and
people.
Also, as you know, and everyone will be delighted to know, I've asked Carol to speak. And I
yes.
think, well,
well, I'm looking forward very much. I'm looking forward to being there very much. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to say.
Well, I think that's the reason, Carol, why I asked you to speak, is because you've heard over the years, I don't know, you couldn't even count how many stories that you've heard. So you have a unique understanding of people's journey. And I think right now that's what people need, is an understanding of where they're at, where they've been, where they want to go to. And you have, whether you realise it or not, and I'm actually going to be interviewing Carol because I know exactly what to draw out of you. And I've listened to the show, so I know what kind of guests that you've had on, and I know what it's about. So, you know, there's so much wisdom that you have, and you're very humble, but I don't think you realise the wisdom that you do have. And this is about sharing stories. It's about, like, your life is a story. That's really what it is. But it's just up to you how you write it. And I think people need to start taking ownership of that and taking ownership of their lives and deciding, what is it that I actually want? What's that I really want? Not just what am I settling for or how am I existing?
Well, I have to say, Donna, you're one of the wisest women I think I've ever met in my life. One of the most inspirational. I mean, that is absolutely the truth. And as I said, you know, this event could change your life. And that's genuine.
Yeah,
for anybody listening,
well,
you know,
we've got
it really
plenty
could.
Testimonials, so
absolutely,
you know, has,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, if anybody wants to find out more information about it, where do they go?
They go to wesummit.ie. So that's wesummit.ie. So wesummit.
Wesummit.ie, yeah. And it's the 19th Saturday, the 19th of November.
Yeah, in the Hilton Airport Hotel,
Northern Cross.
In,
yeah, Malahide, Northern Cross. Yeah.
And all are welcome.
Absolutely fantastic day. I have no doubt about that. Before we finish, though, I just want to talk, because I did allude to this at the start, that you've launched your own clothing and you're actually wearing this beautiful jacket.
You know, this was actually never planned. And this is what I think is beautiful about life. If an opportunity comes along, you can, you know, you just say yes and then you can always change your mind after.
I love that. Say yes and then yes.
Yeah. So somebody came to me and they'd seen that, you know, that I do a lot of rebounding for, I love rebounding for fitness, so it's very healthy, your lymph system and everything.
What's rebounding?
Mini trampoline.
All right, okay.
So that's me and my exercise, 10 minutes a day, and that's just me done. And it's, if anyone wants to look it up, it's very good for your lymph system as well. I could do a whole show on that one, but anyway.
Sounds like fun. Yeah.
It is brilliant fun. And a company approached me and they said to me, you know, you, a lot of people are asking you, you know, what do you wear, this, that and the other. And I actually thought, you know, and I used to do modelling as well and I'm kind of into fashion. So I thought, oh, well, OK, this could be an opportunity. So we explored it. And yeah, so I'm releasing clothing line and it's really wrapped around my logo, which is a swan. And I suppose
it's a beautiful logo. Go on.
Well, it's actually my logo was designed. But before it was designed, I asked my mother, who's passed away. But I asked her when she was alive. I want to design a logo. I have this guy who's going to do it. Can you give me an idea? And I think maybe as a symbol, as a flower or an animal. So she said, well, definitely not a flower. So I said, OK, fair enough. So she said, well, it's either going to be gazelle or a swan. So it's definitely not going to be gazelle anyway. So I said, why do you think I represent a swan? So she said to me, and only a mother could get away with it. I know what she meant, but anyone hearing it, you know, next to me would have thought she was insulting me. But she said, well, Donna, you used to be so ugly and you turned out so beautiful. So I was like, but I get what she means. And it's very much based on the ugly duckling concept, which is, you know, you find who you are and you just make sure you embrace it fully. And that's what my brand, everything that I'm doing, whether it's, you know, my development side of it or whether it's clothing or whatever it is, it's all about being you. And that is my slogan, be you. Whatever that means to somebody, the most important thing is that they reach their potential, absolutely, not anyone else's.
Absolutely. And just find you in the first place.
Absolutely.
And then be you.
If anyone wants to, if they want to email me at info@donnakennedy.com or just my website, donnakennedy.com.
Right.
Yeah, I relaunched that. So it's nicely designed now and
it's all
branded and
you
are very excited.
You are quite the woman. You are quite the woman.
Actually, there's an ebook on there. It's free if people want to go on and get it. They just go onto the website and it's a 25-page guide on mindset. And there's a few tips there as well. Just for anyone who's listening that might need a bit of a leg up.
Okay. And that's on the Donna Kennedy website.
It's on the homepage. They can go on. They can just put their name and email in and they'll get it.
Okay, lovely. And again, if you want any more information about the summit on the 19th of November, that's at wesummit.ie.
Yeah, wesummit.ie.
Okay, Donna Kennedy, an absolute joy to chat with you again. Very much looking forward to the day on the 19th of November. And thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to welcoming everybody.